Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? That's Chuck D, and I'm fighting power. We're fighting a different kind of power. I'm Eric Payne, K's son, also known as K's son, also known as Citizen Payne, and welcome to K's son and friends with the friends, the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Wayne Gilman, get his name right. I see you, brother. And Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. And, you know, we're getting right to business. I say fight the power because... I'm opening your mic, Wayne, as we start off so we can both start off talking. I say fight the power because it's a different type of power that we're fighting. It's a white supremacist power that we're fighting against that seek to murder our people. I don't care how they get hoodwinked or radicalized or whatever kind of stuff they the excuses they want to give it. It's the spawn of the seeds that they keep have planted for 400 years, right? It is the result result of the plants that they have watered all of these years. So I'm tired of that. I think that once there is some consequences, true consequences, whatever they may be, and then that activity probably will stop. I couldn't help but think when I saw, the kid being captured and taken away and all the authorities that responded, the preponderance of white individuals, white cops, white police still. And I wondered how many within that number might have been sympathetic to this kid. I wonder. And that's the problem because they're always in the positions of the authority, the authorities. They're the authorities and, America, black people have been the bad people. And so it's the authorities have been controlling the masses or black people, controlling the slaves. Slave catchers, it was illegal to be free and black, so the police were the enforcement arm of that law, meaning that they kept the slaves, and if they escaped from their slavery, they went and caught them and brought them back because that was the law, and they were the enforcement arm of the law, the police. So all these years later, it's still that job, right? So I wonder, and I guess it's pretty messed up because I'm sure there are people there that come to do their job and they're not racist. Obviously, we have white Americans who don't ascribe to the themes of white supremacy at all, even ones that might be quiet and don't speak up forcefully against it or condone it as little as they might in their community because maybe they're outnumbered, maybe they're afraid to speak, and maybe they just don't want to deal with the hassle, or maybe they enjoy their first-class citizenship. But what I know is that I want to see more of us in those positions that respond. And I heard the captain or the chief of police up there said that maybe it was a good thing that it wasn't black officers that responded since this individual was trying to kill black people. But I'd rather take that chance that there's more of us carrying those high power weapons and responding in these situations all across the country than not. And certainly in a city like Buffalo, you would think that maybe there would be more of a population of African Americans and Hispanics on the force. I don't know. But what do you think, Wayne?
Well, I really don't know where to begin. I register and I acknowledge your anger. I thank you for inviting me to get a glimpse of the show that you – is it Real Talk or Real Black Talk? Or I forgot the title of the program that you were on the other night. And the thing is that you all made some salient points. And the one thing that I sound like as if I'm a broken record by repeating this, the government, in my opinion, has allowed this atmosphere to fester for quite some time. You know, I mean, it's one thing to go back historically. We all know what happened way back when. But, you know, just bring things up to date. You know, we're not living in a vacuum. We've seen too many of these instances in which, you know, lives have been taken needlessly. And it's not just black lives, Asian lives, white lives, young kids, old people. It doesn't matter. We have a problem of terrorism in this country, and it is cultivated by the freaking right, in my opinion. And the deal is, you know, all of a sudden there's a demand to call certain people out in the media about what's going on. They know full well what the agenda is. What is the freaking government doing to stop this behavior, allowing this stuff to spin? And for people, because the average American who is, Joy Reid a moment ago mentioned how Fox is the most watched news network in the country. And it's been documented that is the case. Well, if you have that many eyeballs and ears listening to the propaganda that goes on a regular basis, it's the Joseph Goebbels story all over again. It is what Hitler's henchmen did to convince, you know, the tribe as to what was happening during World War II and why, to a certain extent, it met with some success until his downfall. You know, I mean, what do you want? I mean, the vast majority of Americans would like to see, and it was voted, so it's not like as if the other side doesn't exist, but most people would want to see a democracy. And at least a lot of this bloodshedding that is going on, you know, it need not even be, you know, and it just bothers me that it's so apparent that where the problems lie, and yet no one does anything, you know. The Republicans, they're afraid to lose the support of the NRA. And the Democrats, whether they're in bed with some of these organizations that promote this, you know, we're at a point now we got to shut these institutions down, you know. And it's not just Fox. Yesterday I spent the afternoon listening to talk radio. Cumulus has purchased an old FM R&B station here in the New York area, and all they do is right-wing talk. And they got an announcer on day. His name is Ben Shapiro. And I wish I had the ability to call in. Lord knows I tried. Because somebody needs to counter when they come out with these racist tropes about, you know, blacks and Jews and some of the misinformation that is being spewed, you know, and all of a sudden they're the guilty party because they perceive that the Democrats are beating up on them for this incident in Buffalo. So what happened in Pittsburgh? What happened in Atlanta? What happened in Minneapolis? You know? And don't tell me because the same way a deranged black man went through a town in Minnesota and during a parade event and took the lives of many whites, you know, they, you know, and Joseph Biden wasn't there because it was concluded that this man was not in his right mind. But Biden can't be everywhere. And so is he not supposed to go to Buffalo to anesthetize the pain and the grief and the suffering? You know, Ben Shapiro, call us. Please, give him the number, Eric. I'm sick of this nonsense.
So
there's a double stand, you know. It's
so
stupid.
My response, I mean, you know, I know that there are first off, several things that I kind of disagree with you on a little bit, or I'm curious about a couple of those points. Like, I've heard that factor before, the most watched cable network, but I'm wondering most watched by who, you know, because I'm kind of sure that the majority of black people don't watch Fox. So
yeah.
Once again, I'm suspect to their statistical analysis when these people always report these things, right? And I think that there is a part of a, you know, I think it's part of a larger plan that people continue to perpetuate that. Secondly, I think that it's cursory to suggest that it's the government and just say the government, one monolithic thing. I think that that's where people get caught up and bogged down and not being specific. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I said people need to pay attention to their elected officials and be as aware of them and what they do as they are aware of their favorite athlete and their stats. And people,
right,
many sports fans, can rattle off the stats of their favorite athlete years. Over years, what they did certain years, and get them, break it down, whoop, and I saw this, but they can't tell or name what laws their elected official voted for, where they stood on certain positions, how they voted on certain, what are their stats of their elected officials. So therefore, it tells me that there's a lack of knowledge and understanding in the process if you don't even know those things. And so saying it's the government and who's in charge of the government during these times that we see these things happening. And so there are a lot of, when we do that, I think that we gloss over the nuances that affect that. So it happened during Joe Biden's administration, and you could say Joe Biden's
right.
government. But what was happening 2 years, we're talking about 2 years into Joe Biden's government, what was happening 4 years before that? We know it was happening 4 years. That mountain of hate was being built and fortified and qualified and verified by the previous president. So can we really say it's the government and whose government? Because then you would have to say it's Joe Biden's government. So I reject the notion when people say, oh, politics or the government. No, you've got to know specifically who is doing the work that you need them to do, who is championing the causes that we need them to champion, and separate those from the others. As simple as that same kind of notion of glossing over and just talking about it as if it's a monolith gives cover to these individuals that don't want to admit their complicity in the June 6th riots because they say, oh, it was just a bunch of protesters, or they try to smooth it over. But we can't allow smoothing over anymore. We have to be very specific and detailed in our approach to things from now on. So we shouldn't say just things, the government and just them. We should know who in particular is doing what. And I don't disagree with you that there's been a certain consistency of white supremacy that has controlled our government throughout the years. This is why we're in the position we're in today as black people.
Yeah.
However, and so that's another notion that we're fighting, and that thins out as time has gone, and those people that are all on one side seem to migrate, to one side of the aisle or the other. As we know, the Democrats that disagreed with the civil rights legislation became Dixiecrats and joined the Republican Party.
Right.
You know, just like how it flip-flopped. Blacks were Republicans and then flip-flopped. So, not to cut you off, Eric.
I mean, I am in agreement with you wholeheartedly. I mean, the deal is that every 4 years, every 8 years, you know, our government changes. You know, it depends on what the prevailing populace feels who should run the country. You know, people get sick and tired of the Republicans for whatever is going on at that time, and then next thing you know, you have a Democrat in charge. When they get fed up with what's happening with the Democrats, it's like they volley back and forth. The problem is there are a series of laws. I go back to the whole thing. You have an agency called the Federal Communications Commission. Mm-hmm. They are a regulatory agency. Same way you have, the CIA and all these other departments that they examine, they see what goes on. And yet, you know, Fox has been out there, and it's a British company, you know, but they have an agenda. And if you look at all the little entities that they own, they profit off of white supremacy, racism. The New York Post, you want to find out something bad about black people, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to some of the other organizations. The Post has been notorious, you know, since Murdoch took over. This is not the Dorothy Shipman paper at all, you know.
Right.
Going back for those of you who may remember when it was far more liberal, and it's just one of these things that we need to do something about, or else this will continue. We are only 13% of this population, and if most of the eyeballs are allegedly, because I have no definitive information. I'm going based because I'm certain Joy Reid would not put that out. But we are a majority in terms of the number of people of color who have been affected by this bigotry.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
and that's the crap that needs to change. Or else we're, you know, we're going to be under. It'll be a wrap pretty soon.
That's why I always try to stay away from the false equivalency of saying there's, you know, mass shootings for everybody. There are, and it's terrible. But I'm concerned, and I have to turn my attention to us as a people because it is something that has been done systematically over the course of years. The mass shooting by the black guy, which obviously they ran that on the news right after the one in Buffalo to suggest some equivalency. Because usually black people doing that is an outlier, although there have been an unusual number of black on Asian violent acts, we know, during the pandemic. We understand that there's a historical context as it relates to that. But I think we should shy away from the temptation to codify it or have some sort of equivalence because for us and those actions against us are a system, a created system and philosophy. And so when you talk about these news channels and these people and somebody needs to counter, nobody needs to be on there to counter because they're preaching to their audience. People that tune into that shit want to hear that shit. So I see no need. I wouldn't see any need to watch it to see a counter because it's like, you're going to a Klan rally and you're wondering why they don't have a point counterpoint in a Klan rally. It's a Klan rally. You know what it is coming? This is what we do. You know? Let me just bring Byron in because he jumped on a little bit late. Wants to jump on the
well, gentlemen, I'm in New York City. Hello. Good evening.
And I'm
up here because we started rehearsals on Monday for the Negro Ensemble Company's production of Lamb to Slaughter that I'm stage managing. And so I'm here. I'm in the city with you guys. Hey.
Okay.
Anyway. Fox News. Go ahead.
And we're just talking about the overall the situation overall, and we got kind of veered on to, you know, how it's happening across the board. We had a little point counterpoint, but just in general, what's your perspective about, I guess, not the shooting, but the coverage and, you know, the whole thing? I mean, what's your...
Well, here's my entire take on everything, on guns and shootings and the coverage of the shootings. Because at the point at which, if there are three pandemics in our nation, we know one is COVID and all of its mutations. The second one is racism and all of its mutations. And the third one is an overglut of weaponry in our nation. Gentlemen, we have only 350 million people in this country. There are over 400 million weapons in our nation. Of those 400 million weapons, 3% of the population owns 90% of it. 90% of the 400 million weapons is owned by 3% of the population. There's a sickness, a gradual, dynamic national security in our nation, and it's paralyzing us because on one end, we need security, but do we need all those weapons?
Because I need to ask about that number again.
They'll cover the story. Oh, my gosh, it's a story. killings in Chicago, Buffalo. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and all we do is get lip service and a prayer and silence.
So you said 3% own how much?
90% of the 400 million weapons in this country.
3% of the American population owns 90% of the weapons. So
of the weapons.
350 million, so that means 3.5 million, would that be correct, right? Or is it less than that, right?
Well,
if there's 350 million people, 10% of that is 30 million, 30.5, right?
$35 million.
That right? So 10% of that, or 1% of that, or for 3% would be
3% of the population.
I'm trying to figure out how many people we're talking about. I mean, is that under about 10 million
it's
people
a very
or something?
Small,
like that?
Yeah. Those who want to purchase.
But they got enough ammunition for everybody. They got enough ammunition to feed everybody, though.
Because we're asking the question, I think, from a wrong perspective relative to every time we have an incident, we are always defining it as a mental problem.
That's what they're trying to do with this issue in particular.
Yeah, right. So, let's just follow that logic. If gun massacres are all about mental health issues and illness, shouldn't the need for gun ownership be considered a pathology?
Considered a pathology, huh?
As a pathology, the need to own that many weapons, and if we let's just go down the road with the notion that the incidents being perpetrated by individuals have a mental problem. Mm-hmm. And in each of those mental problems, there's a gun involved in it.
The thing is, that problem, that sickness, that pathology has been cultivated. It's being cultivated by one end of media. And there is a financial component that feeds that fire. This kid, the kid in that did what he did last Sunday in Buffalo, is no different than the kid in Kenosha who went out with his shotgun and blew, the two whites away that were caught up in that. It's cultivated, man. It's fed by this beast on the other side. And, there are people out here demanding that, and I don't know if Reverend Sharpton is amongst them, but there are people out here demanding that Biden come out and call out people like Tucker Carlson.
By name.
Chuck Schumer, our senator here. He's another one who wants to, you mentioned these things. I don't know if you're glorifying these folks by calling them out. I don't know.
You're making a target out of them. Make a target, just like Trump used to do. Trump would call people out and made a target out of them. So I think Joe should do that because there are probably some crazy guys on the left as well. I'm not saying he should do it because of that. But, they should be kind of ostracized. But I think the majority of people know what Tucker is about. I think if you talk about famous people like that, or talk about Fox, that's what I'm saying. People tune into that because they're saying what they want to hear. Those people that are tuning into that network are already members of the choir. So to have some kind of counterpoint on them and think you're going to educate them or reprogram them, I think it's a waste of time, really.
They don't need to be glorified. Yeah.
Answer is really not shutting down Tucker Carlson or Fox TV or the Sinclairs or all of the other media empires that push the negative crap that's out here. That seems to be putting a little mercurochrome on a cancerous sore.
I think that's a big part of the issue. Holding them accountable for promoting hate speech, that's a very big part of the issue. It's not the only part, but it's not a minuscule part that I hope you're not making it seem like. It is a sizable percentage.
All right. So here's what I'm going back to. I got to go back to the numbers because the numbers don't lie. You can have all the Tucker Carlson. You can have all the Rupert Murdoch. I mean, all of them are talking bobbling heads. They're not selling the guns. It's the gun industry that must be shut down.
Right.
Exactly.
They're fueling it because the gun industry is they're putting money in their pockets.
Sure, but it's both of those, right? It's both of those prongs. It's a two-pronged approach. It's not one or the other. They work in tandem. Wayne just said they spend the time selling that shit. They sell that shit. And you know what type of commercials they run on those networks, right? Survival, gun ownership, this tactical weapons stuff, all that shit. So it's a multi-pronged approach. I think it needs to be narrowed down to like two or three that so people can focus. But certainly the gun industry is one of them, and the misinformation and the hate that's spread by these type of outlets is another. And you could probably find one or two others that really are going to be the strong tips of the spear, so to speak, in this arm attack.
Let's go back to the numbers. If 65 cents out of every dollar goes to the Defense Department, who subcontracts out to the weapons manufacturing industry,
mm-hmm.
65 cents of every dollar put in the tax base. Wonder why we don't have money for an infrastructure. You wonder why we don't have money for education. You wonder why we don't have money for medical research. Is because there's no money to give to them when you can only split up 100% of anything, and 65% of our money goes to the weapons manufacturing industry. So you've got potholes in your street. So you've got the shortages of beds in hospitals right now with a COVID virus spiking again. So you have educational problems because nobody can put in a school books that tell the truth. This is the problem.
But, you know,
we've got to redesign the distribution of the wealth of this nation and take it out of the hands of the people who are creating chaos. Because we can put Band-Aid on all of this. Shutting down Tucker Carlson is just taking a mouth off the step. That's it. And you
but, well,
just
I tell you, the thing
up.
Is, but you see, the thing is, Byron, I, Eric, and I agree that, you know, it's not about necessarily. I give him the same way that we have a right to our free speech and what it is that we espouse. He has a right to that. But when you have that much power, you have that many eyeballs and ears listening to what it is that you're saying, and it is misinformation. It's stuff that is not confirmed. I found out more this week about the race replacement theory than I ever knew. I don't watch all this subversive crap that's out there because I personally don't want to believe it exists. You know, it's fascinating what some people will sit up and do. But these people are pushing an agenda that is monetized. And the same way this government could come up with the shekels to send tons of funds over to Ukraine to assist, and I'm not saying that isn't justified, there's money in this country. If people wanted to do the right thing, they could turn this around. And it doesn't mean that they have to be out of work, but the whole thing is that on that side, I immediately, when this thing went down in Buffalo, I just wanted to see what kind of foolishness they had on that night and if they were covering the story. They spent more time on the church shooting in L.A. hours later, or I think a day later, and they had some sort of political comic relief program. This guy Gutfeld, I can't think of his name, or he's one of these stand-up guys.
Of course they're going to spend more time on that. Of course they're going to spend more time on that.
You know,
that doesn't fit their narrative.
No, they're guilty. Their blood is on their hands.
But that's what I'm saying. Why are you even watching that? I mean, unless you're trying to keep an eye on the enemy just so you know what they're saying. But
I already
know what they're saying. And also, you just made a statement like you kind of some of the stuff you don't want to know exists. I think a lot of us African-Americans don't want to know or want to just keep moving and keep pushing regardless of whether that exists. But I think that we need to be a civil rights era cognizant of these things that are going on. And I said it last week that we need to be more monolithically minded in terms of us all deciding as a people, this is what we are all going to do for this next period of time or whoever to achieve these objectives. We can't afford to be so different that some of us want to go and join the extreme left progressives, which ain't never going to make no headway, at least not immediately, to get the foot off your black neck. None of that pie, you know what I'm saying? So we need to be more monolithically minded from my perspective if we want some of these things to happen. So if we all
I'm not taking that away, but I also need to know when somebody calls me up on the breeze. It may not necessarily be here, but somewhere else. And they question me, did I see such and such? Yeah, I could tell them the response I saw was really unfortunate. It's not what I consider to be balanced and fair, which is part of their
mind. It's none of that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, it's just surprising that you're within those parameters, because as I've come to believe with certain aspects of the government, the Constitution, and the whole image of, you know, our country is bullshit. So why that station there is complete bullshit. So why even engage to fair and balanced? I don't even know that, because years ago we know they're not fair and balanced. We know what their program is going to be. Misinformation.
Right, right.
They get over on the fact of whether at that time of the evening, do they then cease becoming news program and have the and are relieved of the responsibilities of a news program? And at certain point, is it an opinion program, right? So when you have the hosts all of the all across all of the networks that have their hour show, what is that show qualified as? You know, is it qualified as a news program? And then are there certain laws, FEC laws, when a program establishes itself or qualifies itself as a news program? Are there certain regulations that they then have to go by, like telling the fucking truth, presenting it in a
– well,
you know? And then so if that's the case, you're supposed to be a news program. Okay, say our news programs go off at Fox at 8 o'clock. Every program on after 8 is opinionated, right? So the host can pretty much doesn't have to stick to the truth. They can make shit up.
To the script. Right, you know? Right. Well, I even heard Sean Hannity say once that, you know, he's a member of the press, but he's a talk show host and not a newscaster or a newsman or what have you.
So,
the deal is, I get that, but your lines are so blurred by people who are watching you. Do they understand the difference? You know? Because there is no difference. You know, when I see it.
Yeah, and I don't think they even care whether there is a difference.
Yeah, no, they don't care.
As long as it's saying what they want to hear. And those are their beliefs.
But we're going to go through this over and over again unless someone, you know, the genie's out the bottle, man.
Someone goes up down the street to their lodge and say, hey, y'all, what are you?
I don't know. In all honesty, I just feel that these people need to be called out and to a certain extent shut down. You know, I mean, they should not be allowed to make the money that they make with all the lives that are being lost, you know, by foolishness that they project.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that gets to me. And I'm trying to figure out a way, you know, when I heard one of the activists say, well, call them out. It doesn't mean anything. You know, if we were all armed, you know, did like what the Black Panthers did in California about 50 years ago to shut Reagan and his administration down.
And there's a part of me that could come.
I'm sorry.
You know what happened as a result of that? That's when they started issuing some sort of gun laws. Because the Panthers were exercising their gun rights. And when they saw that, we can't have black people with gun rights, that's when they flipped and started having gun legislation, right?
There you go. So we're still in the coal mine, man, you know? I was just getting to that. But that, you know, it's like, I don't know the answer. I'm just tired. I'm 70 years of age, and I'm tired of seeing this shit. I feel you.
After seeing it for all these years, it's totally understandable. Everybody, you know, even the young people are tired, which is the crazy thing at this young age. You know, this is to me, kind of like the '60s all over again. We could all say that, right? The '60s all over again, with the type of president that encouraged this divisive left and right. And racist form of one of the parties. I mean, this guy really perpetuated taking it back to like some Woodrow Wilson shit or some Richard Nixon shit, you know, in terms of how he's looking at the races and you know, not even caring really the hatred that's being spawned. You know, that's the whole thing. I mean, if it was done obviously for his purposes, but when the collateral damage is, you know, damn near a new civil war, which is what they want. You know, you really understand where a person's coming from. And that guy, he's all about it. I mean, you know, I mean, I think they see this as their last little rallying thing to take back America and make it white again and you know, to really establish the white man's dominance and whatever that meant over the course of all these years. I think a lot of those people want to go back to that or a form of that where, like I said before, they were had preferred citizenship, you know.
Well, it's, you know, it's changing. It's you know, they have no control anymore. I mean, it's been in the making for quite some time. I know it must bother them when they see, you know, the appointment of a black vice president or the election of a black president, and when they see people, you know, poor White House News press secretary now, the first time in the history of the freaking government, a black woman of Caribbean descent, who's part of LGBTQ community, you know, I mean, and that was the other thing that bothered me with this guy Shapiro yesterday on Cumulus. You know, he was saying, oh, she's not ready for that kind of an assignment, you know. Like, it's like only somebody white could handle that and would know, you know, how to address certain issues. And the fact that there's so much nepotism at Fox, one of the morning show hosts, you know, and again, maybe I'm wrong to even bring this up, but just I'm irritated by what I see and just see at the same time these lives are lost because of an agenda that's being promoted that should not even be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's my point, you know? It's like we always have to pay a special tax to justify our existence. You know,
I call that kind of mental gymnastics, hypocritical race theory. Like you just said, I'm going to break down what you just said about what Fox said about Ms. Pierre, our new press secretary. Think about that. They're theorizing her qualifications based on her color.
And this is what I'm saying, and this ain't even this is Cumulus, this guy. You know, it's an agenda.
But you see, that's the agenda of when they're speaking CRT, because they're theorizing, not speaking of the truth of one's character. Same thing about Ketanji Brown. Theorizing
to
define a woman. What is a woman? By another woman asking that. Theorizing that we don't have the intellectual superiority to define a simple word like world man. How hypocritical. In fact, the person asking that question was below the qualifications of Ketanji Brown. So who's theorizing and who's speaking truth? You see, we have to confront it where it is. And because when I hear it, I don't hear nobody saying, you know what, well, for 11 months out of the year, and I only get 1 month to know about my own people, so by the time I get there, I got 11 months of bullshit in my head, your bullshit, and how do you expect me to even recognize my heroes and sheroes because you filled my head with 11 months of critical bullshit day after day after day. So if you tell the lies often enough, it becomes what? The truth? You got black people saying now telling the lie because they've heard it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why black people are telling the lie, or do you think that they're buying into it?
I think that they're buying into it because it's theory. It is not a truth. They cannot even tell you.
I understand that. I'm just saying that their openness to thinking that way.
I understand their openness
to thinking about that when there are the parameters of such of white supremacy and all that stuff mixed in. I can see the uneducated of us seeing it in a very base way.
Well, I mean, whether it's relative to them or not, it really doesn't make a difference now, does it? They are a minority. We're not a minority.
Yeah.
See, they got us thinking like a minority. That's the bigger problem that we have. I'm not even worried about white people no more. I want us to stop thinking like we are a minority because we are not.
We're not. And that's why they're so threatened. And
well,
they know it.
That's why they're attempting to...
They're threatened by our size. You know, they're threatened by the fact that we're not a minority.
So they're putting in these systems in place to make it a, and you guys heard me say this before, a apartheid-like system. That's why they're attacking voting rights and making it harder for people to vote because in the minority, they want it. That's what the, right, Byron? That's what the Electoral College principle was, right? So a minority has a sway over a majority.
Exactly. So at the point at which when you continue driving that imagery and that design as public policy, and all of a sudden breaking it down, the foundational structure that is a leading power of bullshit, it's really difficult because it's impacted and created enough structural design for it not to fall down even when it's already crumbling. Think about that. The GOP is so imploding.
Yeah, it is.
They are self-imploding because they are pandering in lies. They're pandering in racism. They're pandering in weapons to defend themselves from what?
To an ever dwindling a pool of voters, right?
Exactly. And so when that happens, and I heard a white Republican, a white congressman or senator say it. He said, "Listen, the base, the Republican base that we are trying to pretend is a bipartisan base, is only 32%, even at that." That's not even a third of the voting population, y'all. So if you create this illusion that you're a majority and only
32%, it
kind of
is a third of the voting population, right?
Well, yeah, but I think that's high. I don't even think it's as high as 25%. Listen, after the elections of this week, look at the numbers, guys. We had black women defeating. Cawthorn was defeated.
Oh, yeah.
We have black women defeating white GOP people. You see, it's still happening because by the time we get to in June 8th and 9th, whenever these hearings are supposed to start, this will be the most viewed worldwide, not just in America, because what's on display and on the trial is not just Trump, it's the entire format of democracy. Either you're going to apply the law equally, and that's from the top down, not just from the bottom up, but from the top down. Restoration of our legal system is the first pin to straightening out this foundation. Otherwise, you don't arrest none of these people who just committed treason, the highest crime you can commit in a nation ever, including federal murder. Treason is on top. And if you do not arrest these people now, you're only asking for it to happen again. Put them in jail, and you will stop distilling it because the 25% that thinks they're 32% will be put back into their Pandora's box and literally told you are not of the law.
Well, I pray that somebody's listening to what you're saying, Byron. I mean, it's so frustrating. And it hurts, as I'm certain it hurts a lot of people out here, you know, every time this sort of thing happens, you know?
Yeah.
To me, it's a simple exercise to at least try to stop it from continuing. And nothing is being done. You know, it's like we have these, homages, you know, basically we will call together people to mourn those who have been lost. You know, we get very melancholy and mournful about what has happened, and then we move on. You know, it like, you know, what happens next? You know, I don't see. To me, we should have the technology, the same way that we could see who was spying from outside the country. We should be able to determine who these actors are, catch them before they get to a point where they're going to do something, and just make sure it's forceful.
I don't mean to cut you off, but that's kind of the game, right? I mean, the real question in my eyes is the will. Do people have the will to do that? And
right.
You know, I've said before, too, that there must – some people on our side that claim to be Democrats must not – clearly don't have the will. And I even would say some are acting as agents, double agents for the other side, because it seems to me too easy – to lose to win an election against someone who tried to overthrow the government that you're there. It just seems to be a no-brainer that you should be able to beat the guy that tried to destroy the society that we've come to know.
So exactly.
The fact that perspective and mentality is not taken in terms of how they approach attacking those who would promote the issue that this guy is normal and that was just a little hiccup is telling, because they're not attacking these individuals with, to me, the proper amount of aggression or just direct, this is insane and these people are insane. They represent the party of racism and just hammer that in and use every single example available to us to do that. And one of those things, I guess, as people are saying now, that, yeah, Joe, he does need to name individuals. I mean, he called out Fox Network. You know, and, you know, there's strength in naming. I mean, it's against the decorum of naming individual Americans, but Trump broke the rules and decided to name individual Americans. But you make a person a target when you do that. So I can understand his hesitance in wanting to do that and understanding the power of the bully pulpit of the president of the United States that, you know, you don't want to be acting like the mob boss that Donald Trump acted like, right? So, you know,
somewhere. Two wrongs don't make it right, but, you know, I mean, the deal is back in the day, we used to give out, you know, the office numbers to certain people and members of Congress who,
that's doable.
You know,
that's at the job.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, if the president says something, you know, there's a certain decorum that he must, you know, maintain, even though his predecessor didn't.
I mean, allegedly,
sad.
That seems to be what they showed us, but who knows if that decorum has always been followed. Apparently not. Apparently, behind closed doors. We're just nowadays, in our modern age, able to see behind closed doors with our technology, right? But who knows how much. Maybe they weren't following decorum at all back in the day. Clearly not. I mean, look at how Nixon was running it and Kennedy, how he was doing his thing, and I'm sure every president in between. You know, they did shady shit or shit that might not be as ethical or a little questionable or like, you know, and or like, you know, the vibe that nobody's looking or I have the power to do it. So who knows how many people exploited that power and ability to be able to do that. We definitely know. And nowadays, and like I said, with the technology, it's easier to find out. But also having a person like Trump be president, because he's just telling you. He's straight making it up.
Yeah.
When he said both people, good people on both sides, pretty much making it obvious. I'm down with those dudes yelling, you know. They're good people.
Unbelievable. You know? Yeah. They keep playing that back, and then, you know, you have these numbskulls who, you know, I guess they have to promote their agenda. That's how they make their money. As long as the money's coming in, they know that they got a show to do, and that's it. And it's just sad. Because the American electorate, for the most part, is not as bright. You know, they're not nerdy like we are to, you know, analyze stuff. And, you know, that's the problem. That's the problem.
I mean,
and as long as we have that vacuum, you know, we're going to have this back and forth.
That's true. And I mean, even if, like you said, the average person is not that bright, even the ones that would be open to hearing both sides, with even the ones that would objectively, you know, be willing to listen to both perspectives.
Right.
Then you put on top of that number of uninformed Americans, the ones who choose to be misinformed or choose to, you know, like I said, turn to the stations that perpetuate the hate that they already feel and the shit that they already, the crazy shit that they already believe in. That's why they're turning on there to get that, you know, that little bit of extra what they think is going to be news or insight or racist propaganda insight, new talking points or ridiculous theories that they,
yeah,
that they come up with to justify their race, to justify the heinous acts that that is promoted, you know. This shooter was one of the places he was investigating shooting was a school. Imagine. And
yeah,
the report,
and we've,
you know,
been through that already. It's sad, you know.
Yeah. I mean, also particularly with black children, you know, it was, would have been even, you know, not more devastating, but it's just targeting a group, you know. That's always my perspective, you know, that we've been particularly targeted. I know we can compare.
Right.
You know, you like to make it a little bit broader and compare it to other things. But like I said, this has been systematic.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm in lockstep with you, man. It's suffering. I mean, my, you know, regardless of, you know, I bleed. You know, my ancestry, you know, doesn't matter. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's wrong, period. End of story,
yeah.
Full stop. No one should have to go through this. And that's it. And
yeah.
I, you know, I hate to sound like I'm beating up on the government, but somebody's got to do something, man. You
well,
know,
that's
the thing that, it's frustrating.
Yeah, you got to identify who's who. And, you know, like you said, it's suffering is suffering. I'm with that. But I'm concerned about black suffering. I'm concerned about black suffering. I just got to be honest with you. You know, I mean, comments like that to me, and like, yeah, okay, yeah, everybody, we all have a rough life. Yeah, everybody got a rough life. No, black people have particularly rough because of the condition we're in, and that's going to be the suffering and the hard luck stories I'm concerned about. And I no longer am concerned about, well, evening it out, broaden it, it happens to everybody. Fuck that. It's happened to us. It's happened to us with a particular. It's happened to us with a particular intention and with a particular objective in mind. And I'm always going to just, and you hate to think, I mean, you know, because I just found BAI on my radio. I don't know how it ended up on there. But it's black news, talk about black, bliggity, black. And, yeah, I need that because I need to be concerned and understand what's going on in our community. And those points that were always, I mean, those pieces of information and stories that, you know, back in the day, LIB, that was 24 hours, right, Wayne? We always knew there was always knowing what's going on in the black community all over the country. And so.
And it wasn't always 24. I mean, we've had to fight the FCC to get that little bit back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, right. Initially, it was. They were trying to let you guys be on 24 hours. And even that,
right,
in the supremacy we were in, you could see where that intention was. So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, watching the news and abroad and part of the mainstream is great, but I'm codifying, whatever, prefacing everything with black people, black suffering, because those are the shits I want to deal with, because those are the shits that have been attacked for all these years.
Yeah.
And as we talk about being sick of it, that's what I'm sick of. Always, you know, these same stories are the same stories you guys covered when my mom was on the radio, right? Eleanor Bumpers.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I happened to listen to a YouTube video of an old Frankie Crocker show. It was of WLIB-FM before BLS started. He was playing the, not the Young Lords, the Last Poets. And they have this cut called Black People, What You Gonna Do?
Mm-hmm.
And that cut must be at least 50 years old. Byron, I don't know if you remember it. But the deal is, everything that they said then applies to today.
Mm-hmm.
Every aspect of that cut, I need to find it. If I could find it and send it to you, but I know it's Black People, What You Gonna Do?
Mm.
Last Poets.
Yeah, man, and that's,
you know
what course? What course? I mean, I think still got to control the levers of power. and economic power and all the mother levers, or we got to gain control of all of those aspects. And that's what I was saying about early on when we talked about the Buffalo shooter, seeing all the police respond and noticing the preponderance of white officers that were responding, you know, and I couldn't help thinking which one of them is sympathetic to this guy. And you know, they, some people brought up the point that they took him alive. They allowed him to surrender, you know. And so, you know, I hate to look at it that way, to be honest. You know, like, do you like to think like, you know, Wayne, like, you know, people are, you know, don't always have a nefarious motive, but clearly that's not the case, because there are those that are embedded within, I wouldn't even say embedded, you know, there's been nothing that we've had racist on the police force, right? Like I said, it was an armed white supremacy, so that's where they all went, you know, and being a cop lets you, gives you a pass to do whatever, right? So that's how they exploited all our folks. But that's it.
And it's unfortunate because they need to be, you know, I mean, not to get into that whole trip, but, you know, a lot of them just need to be under investigation themselves, you know. There was a report tonight about the people who were on the scene that handled the Taylor incident in Kentucky, Breonna Taylor, you know, what property that they stole and split up amongst themselves. There was some report of $15,000 in her possession, and
who,
they don't know where the money is.
What are the parameters of this story you're saying? What, that they're saying that
I just happened to see it on MSNBC tonight. It was like one of the last stories Joy Reid did, and that they were she had a reporter on who unearthed something about the investigation into Breonna Taylor's death, and that the responding police officers in that town, you know, it's one thing to go into a crime scene and examine stuff, but if you're confiscating things that don't belong to you, if they don't go back to where they should go, so that if somebody had to question it, and of course somebody brought up, the reporter brought up money, and I'm just saying $15,000, you know, that's a considerable amount of money.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean, whether it was in her house or not, she had a right to keep it.
Right. Well,
jeez.
Hadn't heard about that particular aspect of that story, but we're at the end of our time now, gentlemen. So you want to give the folks your last words of advice, Wayne, since we had Byron, you still here?
I'm still with you.
Okay, Wayne,
I hope you got your bulletproof vest on, brother.
Give your people a send off. Give the people a send off, Wayne. We got 90 seconds.
Keep hope alive. That's all. Keep hope alive.
All right, my brother. We'll talk to you again next week. That's Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Byron Saunders, give the people your words of advice.
Well, the words of advice I have for all of us is wear your mask, know you're the majority, and enjoy being black and proud.
Extra black. All right, Brother Byron Saunders. That's Michael Ralph from Ralph Squad. That was Mike Ralph's line. Talk to you later, Brother Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. We had a good discussion with the brothers. You know, we're going to chop it up, talk about things that need to be talked about, and try to come up with solutions. We ain't just talking about it, right? What we need to do for the people. Anyway, say your prayers for the people in Buffalo. And all over. Watch yourself, stay on point. When I was doing the FOI training for Malcolm X, the FOI brothers taught us how to stay on point. Pay attention. Notice your surroundings, because there are people who hate us. Do us evil. Right now, gotta go. Love y'all. I'm Citizen Payne, K's Son and Friends, Eric Payne. That's my name. Got to go. See you later. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye. Straight fire.